Second hour coming up right after the short break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Thursday, November 2nd, 2017. So, Cyphalosipov is the latest, I would say, unwitting pawn in the FBI's theater. They're all called actors, aren't they? They're state and non-state actors. And even if that term isn't meant to connote the kind of meaning that I would interpret it to mean, it's all theater. Why would we use it? To me, it's like cognitive dissonance. It's disingenuous. It's misleading. And it sort of, what do you call it? It creates a sort of mystique, and, but that's, I'm sure, intended. I'm sure it was, I'm sure these words were smithed at the Rand Corporation before they started publishing these monographs back in the 90s, and I think even before, that use these kinds of terms. You know, I've mentioned the advent of net war, for example. If you haven't read it, it's more relevant now than ever. This was all foreshadowed by the Rand Corporation in monographs like the advent of net war, which is awful. Just a blurb on that. If you look up the advent of net war over at the Rand Corporation, published back in 1996, originally 127 pages, you can download it. Rand monograph by John R. Aquila and David Ronfeld. I've talked quite a bit about John R. Aquila on different broadcasts. And this was, you know, the cyber warfare brief back in 1996, before the internet was the internet, really, so to speak. So the summary says, the information revolution is leading to the rise of network forms of organization with unusual implications for how societies are organized and conflicts are conducted. Net war is an emerging consequence. This was back when AOL stood for Always Offline. Remember dial-up? These guys, well, obviously, Rand was part of the creation of the interweb, so they have insight, deep insight that the rest of us don't have. So, you know, 20 years ahead, it reminds me of a high school teacher that I had once that said San Francisco is 20 years ahead of the world in terms of weird, or the rest of the country. So Rand, I suppose, is similar in this context. The term refers, net war, that is, refers to societal conflict and crime, short of war, in which the antagonists are organized more as sprawling, leaderless networks than as tight-knit hierarchies. Doesn't that sound exactly like what we're hearing with the characters like Cyphalosipov, you know? Sprawling, leaderless networks. The antagonists are organized more as sprawling, leaderless networks. Many terrorists, criminals, fundamentalists, and ethno-nationalists are developing net war capabilities. A new generation of revolutionaries and militant radicals is also emerging, with new doctrines, strategies, and technologies that support their reliance on network forms of organization. Net war may be the dominant mode of societal conflict in the 21st century. These conclusions are implied by the evolution of societies according to a framework presented in this RAND study. The emergence of net war raises the need to rethink strategy and doctrine to conduct counter war. Traditional notions of war and low intensity conflict as a sequential process based on massing, maneuvering, and fighting will likely prove inadequate to cope with nonlinear, swarm-like information age conflicts in which societal and military elements are closely intermingled. So as in all cases, these guys are concocting the future conflict and concocting both sides, really, and sharing limited information on one side. It's that old, I taught you everything you know. I didn't teach you everything I know. It's that deal, creating both sides. We always make sure that we share enough with you, Mujahideen, Al-Qaeda, Taliban, etc., that you'll want to fight and you'll think that you have the latest, greatest space age technology in terms of fighting, but we never share enough that we'll actually lose. Not really. Taught you everything you know, not everything I know. It's one of those deals. So Trevor Aronson tells it like it is. Sammy Osmakosh isn't alone. He's one of the terrorists, so-called, for whom the FBI has created Hollywood endings. Syed Saipalov looks like a Hollywood ending. U.S. government officials, as Trevor Aronson pointed out, call this the war on terror. It's really just theater. It's a national security theater with mentally ill men like Sammy Osmakosh, unwitting actors, in a carefully choreographed production brought to you by the FBI. Doesn't that look like what happened in New York? I mean, where'd the bus go? You have police showing up on the scene. The bus looks like it's inoperable according to the pictures. And that's another thing folks have noticed. You'll see in a lot of the articles, the side of the bus is completely destroyed. How did that truck do that? Did it jump something to get up into the midsection of the bus? Looks like the impact is up in the midsection. The truck looks inoperable. Where did the bus go? And the footage from what's his name? Tawid Kabir. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but you know, the press is just reporting Tawid Kabir. He was one of the witnesses that was interviewed and had the cell phone footage of the officer looking in the truck. It looks staged, doesn't it? It looks like a drill. Was there a drill being conducted? I haven't even looked into it yet. I heard on one of the mainstream news accounts that the officers that responded were responding to another incident, which makes me think drill. Because, again, going back to Northwoods, that was one of the tactics that was mentioned. Make sure you stage drills that can go live. Sometimes include mock funerals. These are false flag tactics. I thought it was interesting that five of the folks that were allegedly killed were Argentine. Ah, well, that's convenient. We can't really – that's difficult to vet. Difficult at best, isn't it? Makes false flag even easier. See what I mean? When you start to look at things in that context, all of the facts, it's very – convenient how all the facts sort of fall in line in that context. If you look at it as a situation where some guy, Saifullo Saipov, just, you know, he comes to America from Uzbekistan back in 2010 as part of the diversity visa lottery program and, you know, just decides for no apparent reason one day he's going to attack innocent women and children on a bike path. Doesn't make any sense. But when you realize that the strategy of tension requires that, in fact, the way that New York Police Commissioner James O'Neill put it, a particularly cowardly act of terror aimed at innocent civilians, aimed at people going about their lives who had no idea what was about to hit them. What good does that do? If you really are, I mean, let's just think for a second. Let's just employ a little bit of common sense. If there really is an ISIS that is really an organization that what does it want to do? It wants to, you know, the caliphate nonsense and all of that. That has nothing really to do with the attacking of folks halfway around the world, does it? I mean, that's difficult to argue that. So if you want to attack a political construct, you don't attack innocent people. In other words, if you want to win the hearts and minds of people, you don't attack those people. Does that make sense? It's counterintuitive. If there really is an ISIS, it would attack the political establishment, the political class, the military establishment, the military class. Isn't that common sense? You don't attack the people that the innocent people, because all that will do is anger them and embolden their attack on you. Isn't that common sense? I mean, it is. In simple terms, I don't want to oversimplify, but when you think about these things in the context of the strategy of tension, you know, an organization attacking innocent women and children to get its political message across, and you know, there's no way this organization will ever defeat a nearly $1 trillion a year military-industrial complex. Anyone with any sense, anyone that's read Sun Tzu's The Art of War, even if you're in a cave somewhere halfway around the world, which is ridiculous, the CIA releases the Bin Laden Journal. He watched SpongeBob. I mean, that's kind of what it looks like. You know, he watched SpongeBob in a cave. It's so ridiculous. This is definitely theater, as Trevor Aronson pointed out, national security theater with mentally ill people like Sammy Osmakosh, unwitting actors. I would argue that Saifullah Saipov is another unwitting actor. And as Zaid Jalani's article points out, when an attacker is Muslim, mental health questions rarely seem to get raised. So back to these two articles over at The Intercept. The Trevor Aronson's article yesterday, long before the New York attack, FBI agents were targeting Uzbek immigrants. That's an interesting article because though it's a soft peddling of the subject matter and a kind of a watered down accounting from Trevor Aronson, which I am disappointed in and not surprised by all at the same time, unfortunately. Basically, you know, I would call the article a harbinger. I'm mentioning it because it's important to get out in front of this issue. In other words, what I'm saying is the FBI has identified a certain coterie of folks, immigrants in this case, as potential actors, basically. Useful idiots, unfortunately, on the national security theater stage. And so I would encourage folks to read it. He names names, some folks that are still, you know, that are still, he mentions folks that have pleaded guilty and some that are awaiting trial. But we should be aware of this. So, it's interesting, you know. One of the sound bites from his article that stands out in my view is this: in effect, the spate of recent terrorism prosecutions of Uzbeks proves that country of origin can be a poor predictor of terrorist threat. Based solely on data of previous terrorism prosecutions, Uzbeks should not have been viewed as a significant threat. And remember, I mean, we're hearing from the national intelligence security establishment that he was radicalized domestically. which sounds ridiculous. But that's what we're hearing. So how does immigration prevent that? Which goes back to ideology. Why are we allowing this? You know, why are we condoning these very ideologies that we say we're combating by saying that Saudi Arabia is our greatest ally? So looking at what happened, attacking folks on a bike path in the context of the strategy of tension, like Vincenzo Vinciguerra said, you had to attack civilians, people, women, children, innocent people, unknown people, far removed from any political game. The reason was quite simple. They were supposed to force these people, the attacks, the bombings and truck, you know, nonsense and all of this, to turn to the state to ask for greater security. Muslims are being vilified in all of this all the time. People are afraid, growing more and more afraid all the time in cities. I mean, I've heard it in small places. Towns of 1,000 people or less in you know, the backwoods of Montana, basically. Folks saying they're everywhere. They're coming to get us. And so I asked the question, but have you seen this personally for yourself? And, you know, I've heard a sort of yes, I would say. There's one town in California I went to and visited, and they have 7 mosques now that they didn't have before. It's not the mosques that are the problem. It's the ideology that's pushed, and it comes in part filtered through the intelligence community. Remember, it was the CIA that has been recruiting these folks that adhere to the Salafi ideology. We heard Trevor Aronson talk a couple of years ago now already about how the FBI has a network of informants. They're all, a lot of them are low-level criminals that cut deals and still get paid. What do you expect will happen there? A low-level criminal who finds a way to get paid will do more of what gets him paid, which isn't surprising because that's the way the FBI operates. It's terrorizing the American people, largely, as Trevor Aronson points out, and it gets rewarded for doing so. Do we see a problem here? The CIA, same thing. It gets rewarded for terrorizing people at home and abroad. Do we see a problem here? I mean, hopefully this makes sense. Anyway, Zahid Jilani's article, "When an attacker is Muslim, mental health questions rarely seem to get raised." This is important. It's really, it doesn't matter if the attacker is Muslim or not. Look at what's happening. You know, I was recalling this yesterday, the questions that should be raised in these kinds of incidents. Trevor Aronson's TED Talk comes to mind. You have the Project Salaam study, the Human Rights Watch report. I've talked about New York Times article, terrorist plots created by the FBI and many, many others. The CIA, the ATF, they're all in on, you know, terrorist plots hatched by these agencies. The article the article that was published September 18th by Norm Dixon, September 18th, 2001, a week after September 11th, how the CIA created Osama bin Laden. Great article. A week after 9/11/2001. Great article. Some people know. What if we all just understood this and didn't go along with the mind control nonsense? Herd think. You know, the all of the moments where there are harbingers of doubt, so to speak. You know, the Fort Lauderdale shooter, Esteban Santiago, saying to the Alaska FBI field office, "The CIA is trying to get me to fight for ISIS, making me watch videos. They confiscate his firearm and decide, you know what? He's not a threat. Let's give it back to him." So then he flies down to Florida from Alaska because a security guard can do that and decides to shoot a few people at an airport. That makes sense, doesn't it? Unbelievable. He, like others, complained of hearing voices. Remember? We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Welcome back. A couple of quick notes on this, and then we'll go to the phones real quick. So from listen to these references in the context of Trevor Aronson's TED Talk and see if you can see where I'm going with this. I'm not going to mention the names of the folks specifically, just the references that Trevor Aronson makes in his article published yesterday at the Intercept long before the New York attack. FBI agents were targeting Uzbek immigrants. Now, if you hear targeting immigrants, the FBI is targeting, what does that mean in the context of Trevor Aronson's TED Talk? You're smart. I mean, I'll leave it at that. But here are a few excerpts. The FBI had begun to target Uzbek immigrants in the United States with digital surveillance as well as undercover informants. Now, speaking of the New York area, think James Cromedy and his hapless band of misfits. The FBI recruited, you know, he wasn't employed at Walmart, as Trevor Aronson pointed out. He was unemployed. Well, I lost my job at Walmart, so yeah, $250,000 sounds pretty good right about now. Oh, you'll give me a ride? Sweet, you'll give me all of a sudden? Yeah, why not? Yeah, I think I know some buddies. They could use a few bucks, so sure, we'll I don't know, maybe it'll work out. And he even said, I don't want to hurt people. How do we know this guy, Saifullah-Saipov, is any different? Continuing, though. So, targeting Uzbek immigrants with digital surveillance as well as undercover informants. If you really believe the FBI didn't know about Saifullah-Saipov, boy, I got some real estate for you. He had contact, again, this is just, you know, I won't mention the names because I'd have to do the backstory, but here are the references. Speaking of informants from Trevor Aronson's article yesterday, he had contacted an FBI informant to obtain weapons and was arrested after purchasing an assault rifle from an undercover FBI agent in a hotel room, which kind of reminds some of another story we've heard recently. In September 2014, a month after Yurubev's meeting with the FBI, federal agents introduced a paid undercover informant who approached Yurubev at his Brooklyn mosque. Again, speaking of James Cromedy in the New York area. The informant encouraged Yurubev and Sadikamitov to travel to Syria. How did they do that? With money Yurubev earned from working in Habibov's mall kiosks, and with a promise that he would provide more money for transportation to Syria. Where did it come from? The FBI. Habibov waited outside the travel agency as the tickets were purchased, according to the FBI's criminal affidavit. Guess who purchased the tickets, though? Come on. Islamic backing up here. Let's see. That's a long one. Okay, so Fazlidin Kurbanov came to the U.S. as a refugee from Uzbekistan in 2009 and resettled in Boise, Idaho. When Kurbanov was young, his parents converted to Christianity and faced persecution in Uzbekistan. But Kurbanov became a Muslim again once in the U.S., Kurbanov was charged with terrorism for discussing the possibility of raising money for the Islamic movement of Uzbekistan and talked about a bomb attack with an FBI informant. Do you see a pattern here? Always the informant. Trevor Aronson talked about this. And, you know, speaking of that, there was the related article from last month. You might think, well, you know, these guys are awful. Well, Trevor Aronson wrote an article last month, October 10th, titled "Recordings Capture Brutal FBI Tactics to Recruit a Potential Informant." It's not just that simple. So who's the real criminal here? Come on. And back to Zaid Jilani's article, when an attacker is Muslim, mental health questions rarely seem to get raised. When you look at this article, and you start to kind of look at the things that Saifullah-Saipov has allegedly said, you kind of wonder what his mental condition is and if that has been preyed upon. You wonder if he's been victimized to become another unwitting actor in National Security Theater, a mentally ill gentleman that may have schizoaffective disorder, trouble distinguishing between fantasy and reality. You know, in that context, doesn't this make sense? I mean, I feel like that's a rhetorical question. You know? We'll go to the phones right after this short break. I hope this makes some kind of sense, and I wish that we would come to our senses in this country. Listening to this, the siren song of security nonsense is ridiculous. We need to stop. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat. Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey folks, CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last...
Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. You know, don't we see where this is heading? Fox News video segment, former Navy SEAL commander, terrorists don't deserve to live. You know, you have the interview with, what's his name? Green Beret Michael Waltz, who owns a defense contractor operating in Kabul, was on Fox a couple of days ago. This Fox expert, Avi Asher Shapiro, tweeted, this Fox expert, who's talking about going on the offense against terror in Afghanistan, owns a defense contractor working in Kabul. And, you know, Donald Trump's saying the same thing. Do we not see that America is going full Nazi? That kind of rhymes and it's not supposed to. But, you know, do we not foresee a problem here? Let's go to the phones and grab John in Tennessee. John, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Chris, glad to hear you had Richie from Boston on. I was actually going to suggest that you do that, but anyway.
I hope we get to do it again.
A lot going through my mind. Yeah, a lot going through my mind today. You were talking about mentally infirm being used. I guess those with mental incapacities are being used by those with moral and mental incapacities that have literally given themselves over to the dark side and justifying it all in the name of God, country, and apple pie. You know, I guess Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream is gone. We're judging people on what we're told about them by the news and about your Christian leadership in government rather than what we know about an individual. We're judging people on what we're told by a news media that we're knowing. They're lying to us, not on a daily basis, but on an hourly basis. That the music industry is basically taking people. For those that don't know, you know, I am in Nashville, and the Grand Ole Opry and country music years ago started with people that had grown up in desperate poverty, no food, cotton pickers that were able to sing and play an instrument, and they offered them the world, and they came to Nashville with hope. And as a result, little Jimmy Dickens and String Bean and Grandpa Jones and all those others, people may or may not know, were driving buses around the country distributing drugs. I don't know how many people know that. The old program Hee Haw, because of the people down here's naivete with Playboy magazine and whatnot, Nashville was putting Playboy bunnies on a country music program, broadcasting it to people that didn't know what and who they were watching. They didn't know what was involved with the drugs. And those that did weren't going to tell anyone, because back then, for someone to say, well, yeah, look at Playboy, they wouldn't tell anyone, much less the people that they knew. They hid it.
Yeah.
So now you've got hip-hop and rap, and you're taking young men and women from the inner city that are basically hopeless, and you're giving them the world, and they're selling their soul, and they're leading this country down the rat hole, all by a government that we're taught is a Christian nation founded by Christian founding fathers. That isn't the case, and we're reaping it. It's literally... Yeah. In every aspect of our society, Chris, in the military, in the music, in the entertainment, in sports, taking people that are hopeless, give them a lot of money and more than they could dream of. You'd be surprised, Chris, in 25 years of living in Nashville or in this area, watching people come here with nothing that they can play an instrument. So they have their guitar or their piano, or they can write poetry or lyrics. And they leave everything. They leave family, and they come to Nashville in hopes of making it. Lives are destroyed, and marriages are destroyed, because in order for the wife to make it, she may have to do something that her husband found out she had to do, and it destroys families. I don't know how to put it any other way except to say it really is a ravening wolf seeking whom he may devour. He's destroying people, thinking that they're doing the right thing. You know, I sent you a little video this morning to a text, and I don't know what to think of it, Chris. I really don't.
Yeah.
I know that American Idol, and think about it. You want to be an American Idol? Really? You want, and it's not just American Idol, it's anything. You want to be a sports star? Really? Do you realize it's what it's going to cost you? I don't want to rant, but this is something that it's our fault, because so many people are quiet. They know the problem, but they don't want the marginalization. They don't want the ridicule. They don't want to be called a kook for telling the truth. People are going to call you crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't I don't have the words, Chris. I'm speechless.
Me too, John. And I agree. You know, as much as we sit here, you and I know, the folks listening to this network know, and as much as I can say with authority and from a fact-based position of authority, like I said, you know, Trevor Aronson's TED Talk is based on years of research and looking at DOJ and FBI case files. And, you know, we see a rinse and repeat in every one of these strategies, or every one of these incidents, I should say, stacks up to the same strategy being employed, which Trevor Aronson talks about. You know, this national security theater enlisting these unwitting, mentally ill folks in most cases, or those who have some kind of mental disorder at the very least. It always seems to stack up, or at least the facts lend themselves to that conclusion, yet we're encouraged to believe otherwise. And like you said, to suggest that reality is reality would deem you crazy. And I feel that pressure even in this environment. I'm sure you do as well.
Well, I do, but my comfort is Psalm 91.
Yeah.
You know, and knowing that there's no weapon, folks. No weapon. And if that's true, the only thing, I don't have anything to fear. What I have is a broken heart for people that are discounting the answer, that literally turn away and look because they I don't know, maybe the Holy Spirit isn't drawing hard enough yet. But I'm telling you, that's your only hope. This is all,
yeah.
It's going to happen. And the ones that are doing this have literally hardened their hearts to the point where there is no way out. You know, the whole Jason Aldean thing, the video that I sent you, that was one that apparently you were alluding to the other day, that blew me away because I didn't know about all that. And still today, no mention in the news of Jason Aldean's attorney dying. No mention except
a
little blurb.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Zero. And he's a high-profile guy. He's a high-profile guy
town.
In Nashville he's music.
Highly regarded attorney in Nashville, and there's no word. Tell me
Zero.
They're not controlling what's coming out over the air.
Yeah. A high-profile Nashville attorney who represents
internet,
Jason Aldean passes away, and, you know, none of the mainstream press covers
it.
In
his sleep. That's all it's speculation that he died in his sleep. No one's saying how. Heart attack, death, shot in the head. No one knows. No one's saying. So somebody's scared to death, or somebody's really pulling the strings. I said yesterday, Nashville people is where the seat of Satan is in the end days. This city is wicked, man.
Yeah.
I feel like a spy inside, you know, inside the walls of Jericho. I really do.
Yeah, you know, and again, this gets back to my point. Even in this friendly environment, you know, you and I know, I mean, if we're going to – let's talk facts. I don't want to jump to conclusions. Everything is not a conspiracy. I'm more than willing to concede that. I agree. Everything is not a conspiracy. But when you look at the preponderance of evidence, which direction does it point? You know, I was looking, for example, at the New York deal and folks, you know, different videos. Like I said at the beginning of today's broadcast, there are a number of fantastic YouTube content creators. And when folks look at certain things like, you know, the bus, you know, initially when I saw a picture of the bus and the, you know, the double doors seemed like they were ripped away and stuff like that at a certain angle, I was thinking, well, maybe it was Jaws of Life. You know, folks were trapped inside, and so they used Jaws of Life to pull it apart like a sardine can, basically, to get people out of the bus. But then you look at the side of it, and I see, okay, I understand what folks are talking about. How did the middle of the midsection, the upper midsection of the bus, get crushed by a little pickup? That just is implausible. The bicycle, same thing. You know, these bicycles crushed with no... you know, looking at the video footage of folks going after the fact, looking at these bicycles that look crushed, but there are no drag marks on the pavement. That's interesting. You know,
I wrote an article, Chris. I wrote an article back in, I think it was 07, about the rods from God. And as ridiculous as it sounds, I'm an old weapons mechanic guy, and granted, I don't know about the new technology, but I do know something about kinetic energy weaponry. And I think they may be beginning to use it. It's pure speculation. I can't prove it. But even the Bible says fire from heaven, literally, that you can't tell what it is. Lying signs and wonders and ability to call fire from heaven. So, it's absolute speculation. But with that explosion of that couple in California or wherever they were that survived Las Vegas.
A mile from their house. A mile from their house. No skid marks. A mile from their house. No skid marks. They crashed into a metal gate, the story goes. NBC reports Dennis and Lorraine Carver were killed when their car crashed into a metal gate and burst into flames near their home in Riverside County, California, October 16th. And by the way, the news media was reporting this 2 weeks later. October 30th is the story after the 16th in NBC. CNN, same thing. According to a statement from Riverside County Fire Department, the collision took place in Marietta, California at 10:50 p.m., CHP told NBC News. And so it was a mile from their house in California. Anyway.
Well, no skid marks. I won't keep you. I just hope that Richie does a video with you as well. That would be good to hear. I heard one this morning from him. Apparently he did last night about targeted individuals. And
yeah, if you haven't, are you targeted?
That, yeah. You need to watch that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
All right, anyway, I'll make room, man. Thank you for what you do, Chris. I know it's not easy.
Thanks, John. And thank you, too. So the CNN article, couple who survived the Las Vegas shooting die in car crash. That was October 31st. Again, this is 2 weeks after the incident. Why is that? It's interesting. From a press that just, I mean, gosh, you know, the New York City incident was tied up in a neat little bow within minutes, just like everything else is, except for Las Vegas for some curious reason. But I digress a little bit. So the CNN article, speaking of what John's talking about, you know, and again, you kind of wonder. So the story we were talking about, if folks aren't familiar, Jason Aldean's attorney, Nashville attorney Orville Allman Jr., died recently, and the mainstream press isn't talking about it at all, which is kind of weird, don't you think? So there was an article, speaking of that, just real quick, we need to go back to the phones. Argus Leader, part of the USA Today network, article published July 19, 2015, outtakes with Jed Lance and Jason Aldean's lawyer. Jason Aldean's lawyer, Orville Allman. Reading the article, where is the excerpt? Oh, gosh. Well, from the article, points out that he is at least one of the folks that represents Jason Aldean. And here's one of the relevant excerpts. I asked Jed if it would be possible to talk to Allman for my story, and he couldn't promise it. The guy's kind of a big wheel and not always easy to get a hold of, I was told. So when I got a number for him, I was a tad nervous calling him up. So that's one excerpt. And then Allman is still very much active in the music business today, counting Jason Aldean as one of his clients. Again, this was back in 2015 article in the Argus Leader, part of the USA Today Network, article by Matt Zimmer, July 19, 2015. So, you know, Jason Aldean's attorney passes away, and a friend of his makes a Facebook post about it, and the mainstream press doesn't pick it up. Another suspicious death, I would say in conjunction with the Las Vegas incident, there was the shooting in Tupelo, Mississippi last Friday at a Jason Aldean concert, which doesn't seem related, but still, it's kind of weird. It's a weird copycat sort of thing, or just people being stupid. And, you know, suspicious deaths like Dennis and Lorraine Carver and Danny Contreras. You know, I still haven't talked about that Las Vegas Review-Journal article that is just weird. We'll go back to the phones when we come back. Stick around more right after this break.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back. Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Thursday, November 2nd, 2017. I think speaking of Dennis and Lorraine Carver, the Washington Post article is one of the best. The headline, husband and wife survived the Las Vegas massacre, period. They died in a fiery crash 2 weeks later, period. Dennis Carver was trying to round a curve when the 2010 Mercedes-Benz sedan he was driving veered off the roadway and into a grassy area, said Officer William Strom, CHP officer. The car crashed into a metal intercom speaker. Its back struck a brick column that's part of a fence. The impact ripped off the car's rear axle and ruptured the gas tank, Strom said. The car struck another brick column, rolled onto its side, and caught fire. An investigation is ongoing, but Strom said police do not suspect foul play. It also remains unclear whether speed was a factor in the crash. Yeah, nothing to see here. Unbelievable. Let's go back to the phones and grab Dr. David Haynes in Hungary. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yes, Chris, can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. Thanks for having me on.
You bet.
I'd like to make your listening audience aware of a purely sickening tragedy that's unfolding in Boston now. But before I go on, I just want to make sure this is in line with the topic material that you wanted to cover tonight. I'll sign off if it's not. This is peripherally related, perhaps more than peripherally, to the promised chaos that's supposed to be coming up on the 4th. It's also a case example of how social media can be used to destroy people's lives. Am I on topic?
I think so.
All right. I'll keep it brief. I don't know if you remember about a year and a half ago, there was an incident in Austin, Texas, where an emerging business that had just gotten started, a restaurant, was attacked by some groups of self-described social justice warriors who believed that the business was the first step in gentrification of an area. Whether they were correct or not, the owners were subjected to incredible harassment, threats, and vandalism. Something very similar is happening right now in Boston to a very courageous small business owner of a restaurant called the Purr, P-U-R-R, Cat Cafe in Brighton. The owner, a very, very courageous lady named Diane Kelly, put her life savings and an incredible amount of energy into starting this restaurant. It's a unique restaurant that's based on a fairly successful business model where some cats are present and there's an ambiance that a lot of people like. Over the past couple of months, Diane has been subjected to incredible slander on Facebook and related social media. I became aware of it because my wife was invited to give a talk at the place on what was called Feline Veterans Night. Diane had set up a weekly event for veterans to come in and talk about their experiences during the war. My wife was supposed to talk about a mission I commanded.
That's an interesting story. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Folks, you can look it up online and find it. I hope today was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care, God bless, and we'll catch you on the other side.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.